This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, May 18th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 big hours of Monday Night Trivia, and we have a straggler question, which I'll give you in a minute. We have 11 bumper stumpers and a theme. It's a new theme. I haven't used it before. All right, so our straggler, maybe you've been thinking about it all week. I hope so, because it will retire tonight if you don't get it. And if you do, of course, we'll have another question. In 1970, under 3 million Americans owned one. Today, about 6.5 million Americans own one. One what? So that's our question. Of course, the bumper stumpers haven't started yet, so that could be a few moments. Yes, well, actually, till the first commercial break. But you can have your own category, as we often offer. And sky's the limit with that. It can be lyrics. It can be charts. It can have nothing to do with music if you want, like Cindy in Chicago, who called before the show, been hanging on because she wants more of Miss Fisher's TV trivia. So, all right, Cindy, how's it going tonight?
Okay, yeah, I heard the trivia. I guess I heard it last week, and I just have no clue.
That's okay.
About the trivia. I would, you know, maybe I could think about it and call back, but Miss Fisher, and then I had another migraine today and missed my mammogram, but I don't want to contact Ken. It's just a no.
Well, that's up to you. We don't even need to discuss that.
All right, if he wants to know what to do about migraines.
No. He was going to offer help, and that's perfectly fine. Let's just move on.
I don't need any help.
I can tell. All right, so we're moving on. All right, so okay, good deal.
Let's see if I can do it. And then next time, I might try, it's just too funny, Have Gone, Will Travel. I have to watch that with Chuck. And then maybe Rifleman, try that.
Well, right now we've got the Miss Fisher murder mysteries, and we'll go with that. Franny makes a number of friends in her debut novel who reappear in subsequent books. What I want to know is, who is the policeman she meets who becomes a useful ally in many of her adventures?
Jack. What is his
yes,
name?
Yes, it is. Let's get a last name. You're doing good.
Well, let me think. I'm just having memory problems from the migraine. Jack.
He's Detective Inspector Jack
Robinson.
There you go. All right, you got it. Good deal. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So that's our deal on Miss Fisher, and a somewhat specialized group of knowledge, to say the least. All right, Barry's in New Hampshire. Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
All right, so we're going to do charts.
We are. I was going to do either 65 or 75. So,
which do you prefer?
But I said 75 just.
Okay. Then that's what we'll do. It's your choice. Sky's the limit on that.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Number one. It's a remake of a song. The original title back in 1960 by another artist was He Will Break Your Heart. But it's number one right now in the week of May 17th, 1975. He Don't Love You Like I Love You. Who did it?
Is the Righteous Brothers?
Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. And, of course, it was Jerry Butler originally when it was He Will Break Your Heart. All right.
Okay.
Number two, Before the Next Teardrop Falls.
Oh, boy.
I know you remember it.
I do. I know, yeah. Yeah,
because we don't want to have to play it for you. It's pretty awful.
But isn't it a country?
Yeah, I would say that. Yes, it crossed, obviously, if it's number two on the top 40 on the Hot 100 charts. But I would think about him, yes, as a country artist.
Oh, boy. I'm so slipping.
His initials are FF.
FF.
Yes.
Oh.
Maybe I will let you hear a little of it. See what we can do here. Yeah.
If he brings you happiness, then I wish you both the best. It's your happiness that matters most of all.
And it was produced by bad boy UEP Moe. So who is he?
Freddie Fender.
Yes, Freddie Fender. Okay, see, you got it. So we're moving right along. You're still definitely in the running. Number three, Jackie Blue.
Ooh, Jackie Blue. Oh.
I know you know
boy,
this.
I guess
I know you know this. Yep. Three words.
Boy.
It's a group. Three words.
And
the first one is a mountain chain. All right, we'll let you hear a little of this while you're thinking about it.
Okay.
And they're from Springfield, Missouri, so that should tell you the mountain chain. Are you giving up here? Oh, God, your phone is giving up on you. Yeah, it sure has. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to leave 1975 where it is and have you call back and hopefully get a better connection. Talk about your phone letting you down. That's just what happened with Barry. So we're trying to get through 10 of them, so I'm giving all the breaks we can. Gotten the first couple. All right, so we'll leave that there, and he'll call back. 888-876-5593. Well, I think it's time that we find out what our first bumper stumper is. Then we got Shane. Ooh, we're driving. All right, MASH TV, Don't You Know. Ruth and Gurney, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Someone to talk to, feeling the way that I do, can't give the answers I ought to. best friend. She would use my shoulder to cry on. It hurts me so to pretend when she needs a friend to rely on. I'm in love with you, baby. She still thinks you're her baby, but you're my baby. And darling, I don't want to be the one to tell.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Okay, so who are they? 1966 on MGM. That's kind of a giveaway. Well, see what you think about it. So 888-876-5593. A little too early to know what it has in common with anything else we play because we haven't played anything else, but we will after the news. That'll be your second one. In the meantime, Barry's called back, and let's see if his cell is treating him more appropriately this time. So are you with us, Barry?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfectly fine. Yeah, you really digitized out of our lives. All right, but you're back.
Okay.
So you've had plenty of time to think about Jackie Blue, and we're saying the group came from Springfield, Missouri, and the first word is a mountain chain. So who's the group?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Oh, okay.
All right, number four, Shining Star.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know this
Atlantic
group.
Rhythm? Atlantic Rhythm?
No, Earth, Wind, and Fire. All right.
Oh.
Number five is Only Yesterday. You know, I'd be embarrassed if you know.
Only Yesterday. The Carpenters?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man.
Oh.
All right. Well, they saved you because you can only get one more wrong before you're out of it this time. All right. So number six, Walking in Rhythm.
Walking in Rhythm.
Yep. That's the song.
Yeah.
Donald Byrd. That's a big hint.
Nope. I probably should have went with 65.
Yeah, the Blackbirds. All right, well, 65, we can do it next week, or you can always do your old standby. You're always right about the Beatles.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thanks. Appreciate it, Barry. So 888-876-5593. Well, a noble try. That's for sure. So now, Billy Bob and Bourbon A, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, 96-time caller.
Well, how about that?
I just got a new phone because they're getting rid of my land-based system, AT&T. Am I coming in loud and clear?
You are coming in loud and clear, yes, AT&T. All right.
I got consumer cellular. But anyway, I'd like to request this who did Anna? I got the Beatles version.
Arthur Alexander.
Would you play that for me, please?
Yes, I should actually pull out a piece of paper here that I'll still have tomorrow night. That's always a challenge. Okay, here we go. I think I'm on this.
Oh, if you get it on, that'd be great.
Here. All right. So, Anna,
and then,
Arthur Alexander, A-R-T-H-U-R.
And then I want to take a guess at your trivia question.
All right.
From 3 million to 6 million, I say it's increased in handguns in people's houses.
No.
No, that's the only guess I got there.
Okay. So we're going to do advertising, are we?
Well, because I do so wonderfully.
Well, you just never know. Let's.
I'm going to guess ahead of time. I think it's going to be Claire Parler saying, "Where's the beef?"
Yeah. All right. So let's see what we go. Oh, okay. This is from 1965, and you're old enough to remember 1965, aren't you?
Yeah, I was 12.
Oh, jeez. All right, good enough. Hey, big spender, spend a little dime on me.
Oh, yeah, that was, I think, for some shaving cream or something.
No, not shaving cream. Keep going. I'll even give you the category. It was cigars.
Oh, yeah, Edie, whatchacallit, was a spokeswoman that was married to Ernie. The comedian.
Yeah, okay.
Ernie Kovacs.
Yep.
But I ain't going to remember the cigars, so I'll try again next week.
It was a classic brand of cigars. They were machine-made, and they're still around. But, yeah, you're right. Edie Adams was on the commercials, and you know, one of the taglines was, "Why don't you pick one up and smoke it sometime?" Yes, it's Muriel Cigars. M-U-R-I-E-L, Muriel Cigars.
Well, sure, it comes back easily now.
Yeah,
have a good one.
Okay, thanks for trying. Yeah, it was machine-made, and they were in packages similar to cigarette packages, and it was Edie Adams, so you'd see her kind of caressing the package. And all right, well, you had to have been there, and Billy Bob was, but at 12, he probably didn't have too much of an interest in cigars, don't you? Well, we hope not, anyway. All right, so 888-876-5593. I always defer to first-time callers, and we got one. Gayla is a first-time caller in Monticello, Indiana. So, Gayla, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you.
And it's probably,
I'd like to answer that 70.
Oh, great. It's probably Monticello, isn't it? They probably don't say Monticello.
No, it's Monticello.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right.
Yeah.
So, you're gonna answer our question for us.
Yeah, is it Social Security numbers?
Isn't that a nice answer? It's not even close, but I just love that answer.
Okay. Well, I tried.
You did, and I hope you will again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
you.
So nice to meet Gayla from Monticello. All right. May she call back again. So, yes, our question: in 1970, under 3 million Americans owned one. Today, 6.5 million Americans about own one. Own one what? All right, so that's the question. It gets retired at the end of the night tonight. All guesses are welcome. So what are we doing here? Well, in a minute, actually, we're going to be taking a break for the news. So I'll wait to talk with Shane. We're going to do MASH trivia. What does Ruth want? Oh, Golden Tempo. And she says multiple choice. No, I can't do multiple choice for Golden Tempo. There's no book like that yet. And, of course, you know Golden Tempo because, what was it, 23-1 on that Kentucky Derby win. And in the last moment, yes, really thrilling for people who keep track of that. But we'll ask a question about Golden Tempo, no doubt, or the race, perhaps, all that's coming up. And Naoto, of course, wants trivia, so we'll be doing something from Myers-Briggs. All right, lines available for you if you want them. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Can you tell me?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, usually don't play things that are this century, but that, in fact, is. And, one of my faves, too. 2003, and Pedernales was Willie Nelson's label at first, and then it switched to something else that you've never heard of. But anyway, it was a regional hit, at least, and one of my faves. So who are they? 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let us see, Shane. Shane is driving. So, Shane, where are you taking me tonight?
We're on our way up to Milwaukee tonight.
Yeah, we go there a lot.
Yeah, we have different bids, and unfortunately, the bid I had for Milwaukee all the way up until June.
Ah, okay. So I'll
get... And then I get a second load out of there.
Okay. I guess I'll get used to the route as we go along. Very good.
I missed you last Monday because I was on vacation, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to wait up, and flip-flopping my schedules, I just couldn't wait up. I fell asleep, probably.
Sleep is sacred. Take every opportunity you can get for that. I'll tell you what. All right, so MASH, we know you know all about MASH. So who was the only series regular who was not replaced after leaving the show? And he left in season 8.
And he was not replaced?
Yeah, he was the only one not replaced.
Well, Radar left.
Yeah, yeah, just
but
stop.
He was replaced
wait a minute,
by
just
Klinger.
Stop talking. All right, yes, you were right. Yes, Radar it is. They didn't replace Radar. I mean, Klinger kind of stepped into the role, but it wasn't like a new actor replaced him, so you are a winner.
All right.
All right, hang on, don't go away. All right. So so yes indeed, Radar it was. So 888-876-5593. I guess because Klinger kind of stepped into the role, it's a technicality. What can I tell you? Gary Berghoff, that was Radar, left in season 8 with no outside replacement. There you go. All right. So 888-876-5593. And we've got Shane, who John is refreshing the address again. And then there will be a line available for you. But Bob and Willowbrook's got some guesses on my question. And remember, at the end of the night tonight, it goes away. In 1970, under 3 million Americans owned one. Today, 6.5 million Americans own one. On what? Bob and Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. I have to say, nothing gets my brain working like one of your stragglers.
Oh, good.
So here we go. Okay. Private planes.
No. I like that, though. That's nice.
Okay. Winnebagos.
No.
Snowmobiles.
No.
Bomb shelters.
No.
Oh.
I think there's by the way, I think there's less now with bomb shelters. They were really the hit in the 50s, but they've kind of been diminishing.
Yeah, no, but they've... Well, I read an article a few years ago that they're starting to build them somewhere out in the Dakotas.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what they can do with all the old missile silos. Why not? Except they take the elevators out.
Right.
So what came after bomb shelters?
Yeah, pet monkeys.
Pet monkeys, that's really interesting. No.
Okay, well, that's all for now.
Well, if you think of more, call me back.
Yes, ma'am. Delighted
to
talk to you, as always.
Absolutely. All right, so that's Bob and Willowbrook, and so there is a line available for you, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Ruth is in Gurnee. Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I love when I hear interesting stories with your listeners. I feel like I'm gifted, and I would like to re-gift them back with incredibly interesting stories. So Cinderella, Grandma Cinderella, went to a gala. And from that, and those incredible stories about, I could feel the brush of angel wings. I saw beauty on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord was in that place. The St. Patrick's Raffle from St. Patrick's School, Horse Country, Wadsworth, and I learned that I knew that Golden Temple was going to win the Kentucky Derby.
You did? Did you bet?
Okay, here's how I knew, and this is why regifting this story brings positive energy and hopefulness to so many people in so many ways. I had been giving out red Chinese New Year's of the horse envelopes, a lot of them, in different places and locations, and I had sent them one through the mail to a veteran in New York, Poughkeepsie, about 4 weeks ago, and he did not get it, and he complained that nobody would send a red envelope with money in it. Everybody knew there would be money in it, and somebody took it. I knew he has a horse that he takes care of, you know, one of those people that do rescue horses. So I knew that he would receive the envelope. He received it, though, after the Derby. Then all the other envelopes that were sent to me with a box of St. Valentine's Day fortune cookies and money envelopes with golden horses on them, which I filled, like Santa Claus on his sleigh was filling packages at the North Pole. So I was doing my Chinese New Year's red envelopes, golden horses on them, and the last two that I gave out of many were at the St. Patrick's raffle. And they had a $100 bill in one honoring the Benjamin, and then $2 bills and other currency in the other one. And they had incredibly wonderful names picked out to be recipients for winning from $100,000 to $150,000 cash prizes. So when I called to find out, this was May 9th, at the most phenomenal gala held at the most phenomenal hotel in Gurnee, Hotel Number 10, with an elaborate buffet. Took me 4 hours to get into the wheelchair to get there for that evening. But it was just such a remarkable experience. And my red envelopes with the horse on them that went in different directions. So I called for my list of the horses. And the first reference desk said 4 horses. I go, no, there are more horses that are running in the race. And then the name was given Golden Temple. Now, here's where the story really catches the juxtaposition. Some years ago, someone called in WLIP, the radio station from Kenosha, and named 2 horses that were going to win. One of them was Golden Mystery, and the other one was a German horse. And I knew both were going to win. And I didn't have the $20 to bet. So I went from bus to bus to bus to a bank in Fox Lake, got me my $20, got back to the OTB in Waukegan at 7 o'clock. It's too late to place the bet on Golden Mystery. And he won. I find $20 in a pouch, and I spoke about this once before on your show, in a pouch that I forgot was there, so I could have went straight to the OTB. The next day, I went and bet. I didn't do what I wanted, 20. I only did 2 because I'd never bet before. I did $2 on that German horse, and I won $77. If I had bet the 20, I would have won several thousand. But the lady said, I hope we see you again. I said, no, I don't think so. So the OTB is not there, and I had never bet before, and I knew very little about horses. But Golden Mystery had won that race just as that caller came in and gave the tip on it, and I knew it. I knew Golden Mystery was going to win, and I knew Golden Temple was going to win. And so my money envelopes with the golden horse on each envelope that was handed out was a juxtaposition, and then 2 more, actually 3 tickets were bought, but was mailed through the mail. Well, the guy in New York did get his envelope with the $2 in it just a few days ago. That's the Gurnee Post Office. Other things that were my 1 ticket to the St. Patrick's
Raffle. Okay, now Ruth, we've gone 8 minutes, and my question was yes or no, which shouldn't take that long. Did you bet on Golden Temple or not? That's yes or no.
I found out a few minutes before 5 o'clock,
you're still looking
and I had no way. I don't do computers.
All right. No would have worked. No would have been just fine. Okay, so you did not. All right, but you want trivia question based on Golden Temple also.
Yeah, because it was such a highly unusual race.
It was.
Was not expected at all. And it just goes to show you what an incredible, and there's so much more to that gala that was held on May 9th, and that the whole thing was absolutely a Grandma Cinderella story that I got to go to that, thinking I might not be able to make it next year. Too paralyzed, too ill, and too many things, but I did it, left there at 9 o'clock. Okay, so your trivia question. I'm not too sure I know a whole lot about this, but you come up with interesting things, and so do I. And it just gives such a blessing to people listening to hear these unusual things, not the negative things. Go ahead.
So as you know, Golden Tempo is skipping the Preakness, making it the second straight Derby winner to give up the chance. All right. But there's something about Golden Tempo, surrounding Golden Tempo, that has never, ever happened before at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby. What is it? It's history.
Oh, I know. Oh, winner, winner, St. Patrick. Next year, winner. It is that the horse owner or breeder was the first time a woman had done that in the history.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it to you. That's actually not right. You're talking about Sherita Vaux, and she's the first woman trainer. She doesn't own the horse, trust me, but she was the trainer.
Oh, I said I'm breeder, trainer.
No,
yeah,
she's not, a breeder. Not a breeder by any means. This is not the same thing. But nonetheless, close enough that I'll give it to you. Cherie was the first woman trainer ever to win a Kentucky Derby. Now, as far as Golden Tempo's provenance, that's Phipps Stables. So that goes way back. So a lot of ancient racing blood behind this horse.
Well, can you imagine being that person and never expecting that the person didn't have a chance?
Well,
they didn't have a tournament chance and a second chance and all that. To be in that position in the crowd ward, cheering, roaring over that, isn't that amazing that the crowd would recognize something that unusual? To have been there would have been, you know, just an incredible feeling to have experienced that.
You are a winner.
Thinking about her. And little did she know that someone else out there lent it their interesting philosophies for the Chinese New Year's horse.
All right. Well, hold on.
She got a Chinaman.
Okay, good deal. So we'll leave Ruth right there. We just can't. I'm running out of time. Ruth is a winner, so we're putting Ruth on hold, and we'll screen it. But yeah, Cherie was the trainer, first woman trainer ever to win the Kentucky Derby. So congratulations to them. And it was a good race because, after all, not only was it a 23-1 odds, but the horse was in dead last place at first. Then it, you know, overtook some, and then it won until the end. That, man, I'll tell you, by pretty much your nose in the final stretch. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got more coming up, and your categories, another bumper stumper too on WGN Radio.
Because I love you so.
Well, I really lost my head. And you know why?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Actually, that's the only doo-wop we've got tonight. I know Stan will know it, but maybe you will too. A 1956? They give you the label, maybe, well, it's not going to matter to you, but yeah, on the Pilgrim label, there you go. All right, so who is it? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, so let's see. We've got Gary is going to get us a bumper guess right now. All right, so Gary in Austin, what'd you hear you know?
Los Lonely Boys, How Far Is Heaven.
Absolutely. Good for you for knowing that. Did anybody
play it? I hear that on KJ every now and then.
Oh, yeah, right. So, yes, right. I play it. But other than me, do you hear it on the radio anywhere?
Not in a few years, I haven't,
no. Yeah. But it's, you know. I had hopes that they would go on and do other stuff, but I guess not.
Yeah, I heard some stuff from that album, and it was a pretty good album,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, and that's why I thought there's going to be some real good stuff coming out of that.
Yeah, I thought they'd...
And nothing.
I thought they'd, you know, have a good little career, but unfortunately for them, it didn't work out.
Yeah, I know. But you knew that, so hang on. You see, I thought you were going to get the first one. I was sure you were calling in about the first one. And then you know, look, I'm impressed. Very good. All right. hang on. Right. Don't go away.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah, and you see, if I were a betting woman, I'd have bet, oh, he knows the first one. All right. But Los Lonely Boys, yes, and I do play that on KJ. Actually, that's something that... I play on KQSS as well, a station that actually has listeners and ratings. All right, so 888-876-5593. Do we have time to get in some New York radio talk? Andy in Los Angeles. How you doing, Andy?
All right, how are you, Raleigh?
All right, so we're going to talk about Cousin Brucey. Doesn't get more New York than Cousin Brucey, of course. Oh, God. We all know that that before WABC, Cousin Brucey was on WINS. That's where he adopted the moniker Cousin Brucey. But between WINS and WABC, where was he?
He was in Bermuda, the Hammer.
No, that's great, except he was in Bermuda before that.
What's that? Before that?
Yes. So we'll give you another shot, because if you know about Bermuda, then you're going to know about this next one.
All right. Before Wins,
we want to go after Wins here. We're talking after Wins and before WABC. In between the two.
After Wins.
After Wins and before WABC for 1 year.
I thought it was Bermuda.
ZBM was in Bermuda was before. That was the Hammer, yeah. Uh-uh.
Yeah, but it's not that.
No, but you're right to be thinking south.
Yeah. Oh, wait, he was in Florida, I think. Was
he in Florida? What station?
All right, I have to take two guesses.
Yeah.
I only know FUN and QAM.
It's neither of them.
Neither of them?
Oh, neither of them. It's not Whammy either, because in 1960, actually, FUN was not on the air till the end of the year, but Whammy was competing with QAM, but it wasn't that either. It was the third in the race. Rex Rand owned the radio station.
It wasn't WIOD. That was
No,
right?
Wonderful Isle of Dreams. That was Wacker at the time, WCKR.
I don't know.
That well, it, it think think about Wins. That doesn't help.
Wins?
Yeah.
Was it a Westinghouse station?
No, I'm going to let you think about it during the news, because I think you're going to come up with this. So don't go away.
It's in the South.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Okay.
All right, good deal. We'll find out coming up on WGN Radio.
Your baby, come on into my world. Now you, you're one of the things that happiness means. You're the girl that makes my heart sing. You're so young, but you're so true. And for a young girl, that's hard to do. You're so young, and you're so fly. And you're showing up, you caught my eye. Just about any man with the switch of a hip and the wave of your hand. But when they flirt, you say that I'm your man. And that's the kind of loving that I understand. You're so young, but you're so true. And I'm so much in love with you. You're so young, but you're so fly. And you're really, baby, you got my eye. You're so young, you're a baby, Lord have mercy.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Who are they? Yeah, everyone we're playing tonight, by the way, is a group, and we're asking what they have in common, if you can figure that out, and there is something. But nonetheless, that was 1970 on Brunswick, so who are they? 888-876-5593. I got a question in the works. It will be revealed at the end of the night if you don't get it, so feel free to call and take some guesses. In 1970, under 3 million Americans owned one. Today, about 6.5 billion Americans own one. One what? All right, so they're fairly small numbers, but more than double now. All right, so what are they? Now, we were talking with Andy in Los Angeles about Cousin Brucey, who, of course, became Cousin Brucey when he was on WINS. We know that. And, of course, we know he went to WABC. But in the middle, he was somewhere else. And Andy's going to tell us
where. Thank you for your hint.
Yes.
I think Wins.
Yeah.
I think there's a Wins in Florida. So I think it was Wins, actually.
Yeah, good enough.
Florida, WINZ. Yeah.
WINZ 940 in Miami, which was the other top 40 station at the time. Mike Joseph was consulting it. And that was it. Right. Worked for Rex Rand for a year and then got hired to do the night shift. All right. Well, we're going to give it to you. You'd come through.
All right. Was that song from the Olympics that you just played?
No, it wasn't. That's interesting. Okay. Not West Coast. It was actually a Chicago group.
Okay. You want to hear a quick Cousin Brucey story?
Absolutely.
Okay. I never listened to him because he was a little corny, but I think he's a nice guy. Honestly, does what he tries to do, and a lot of people love him. But I could never get into it.
Me neither.
But he was visiting. Yeah, he was visiting L.A., and there was a contest on KRLA to meet him. He was fishing some tangere or some liquor or something. So anyway, I was the first person to call, and I got to meet him. So I said hello, and the first thing he says to me, "You listen to me?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, all the hoods listen to Murray the K. We had all the good people."
Yeah.
He still held on to that thing between the two of them.
That's so funny.
It's so funny. The first thing he said,
That's so funny. All right, yeah. Murray worked for me, actually, in 1979.
Really?
He was my host for Soundtrack of the 60s, which was a syndicated show he did. And
yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and he was fun. Actually, when I was programming KPOL before that, I had a softball team, and I had remembered that he was a semi-pro player. And so he was my ringer. I've still got pictures of good old Murray playing softball for me. So, I miss him.
Do you think he felt the same way about Bruce?
I don't think he cared one way or another.
Years later?
I can tell you he didn't care one way or another about Bruce Morrow.
But it was so funny.
But it was sort of like something that didn't even, it mattered to him not one whit, if you know what I mean. He had other things going on.
But he got the job over Bruce, right? He got the job over Bruce.
At INS.
Yeah.
But, right. Yes. But, and he was, of course, there until they went all news. But
right,
yeah.
Right,
and then
he
dabbled in progressive rock. Wasn't that painful? And, oh, man. And his wives. He married two different women named Jackie the K.
One was a soap opera star, I think.
Later, he put her through. She originally was a Playboy bunny. She's from New Jersey originally, but he met her in D.C. Yeah. She's working the Playboy Club. Yeah, Jackie Zeman. She's no longer alive, sadly, and liked her. But, there was once a very big cat fight between her and the second Jackie that was just it was just priceless. I got the play-by-play from the engineer at the time. I thought, oh man, I wish there was a video, but absolutely. Yeah. But no, I think that Cousin Brucey wasn't even on his radar, you know. So that's sort of where that was.
But like, it's the first thing he said to me as soon as he said hello.
Yeah.
Did you listen to me? I said, yeah, of course. Only the delinquents listen to Murray. I just thought it was funny after 20 years.
It is funny. It's also funny that he didn't think you were listening to either BMR or Gary Stevens on MCA.
Yeah. Well, BMR actually is the one I listened to most of the time.
Well, yeah, BMR was great. And
he
thought
really good.
And when he came back to LA and toned it down, I was an AOR jock. Never worked for me. But BMR was part of the Cruisin' series, which was done where I worked at Watermark. And the funniest thing about this, originally I thought they were air checks, and they laughed about me probably for years. But in any event, then I saw they're recreations.
With 10 cups of coffee, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it was drugs. with BMR.
Oh, I thought it was he took 10 cups of coffee.
No, it was drugs. I can guarantee you. But the funny thing is, when he died a few years later of a heart attack, I said, yeah, Tom Rounds, it's your fault. But anyway, but yeah, they literally had to drug him to get him at that speed again. So, yeah.
But he was a good series, though.
Well, the original one was, and then somebody bought it and didn't want to pay the music rights, so they stripped out the music and did re-records. And oh my God, I thought that Ron, you know, because it was Tom Rounds with Ron Jacobs. I thought Ron Jacobs was going to hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't allow this to happen. I said, what we? He said, you know, well, I'm in Hawaii. I hear you got it. What we? You know, so eventually he got some of it back, and he said, you got to find the disc jockey. I'm like, why me?
Yeah.
But
you were involved in that series and making that series?
Well, not making it. Had it continued, I picked out the other jocks that Ron was going to do, but I don't think he ever did them.
Uh-huh.
But no, I was just working elsewhere, you know, as a fly on the wall while they were doing it. I had no involvement in it beyond that. Like I say, I thought the first ones weren't re-records. I thought they were air checks.
Right.
And I remember they said, "You're such a romantic. How could you believe that?"
Were you ever on the air in New York?
Not in New York. Never was.
No.
And you know, never had a desire to be. Never got a call from anybody to go there, and never applied to go there. And I'm not sure why, but just never held any interest.
Now in L.A., I think I heard you once on KFI. Is that right?
KFI, and before that, I did mornings on K Hits, 1979, 1980. Yeah, that morning.
Well, they missed you. That's their loss in New York.
It would have been fun.
You were there in the '60s. Yeah, and if you were there in the 60s, I absolutely would listen to you.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Yeah, and I had a friend, Ruth Meyer.
Even over Cousin Brucey.
Oh, I don't know. I was not a very good disc jockey, trust me. But Ruth Meyer.
Are there checks of you on the...
I'm afraid there are, but hopefully they're not online.
I got to find them.
Oh, God, hopefully they're not.
Oh, okay.
I've got literally hundreds somewhere, but hopefully they haven't surfaced. But you never know.
Yeah,
but in L.A., oh, my God, I was on so many stations in L.A. KLAC and what was it?
That's how I knew you, and then I came across you on the...
Okay. I'm glad you found me. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I am, too. It's been fun.
Well, hang on.
All right, thank you for giving me the answer almost.
That's okay. Don't go away. Hang on. Well, the prizes are worthless, but you get something eventually.
Yeah,
all right,
I know.
Good deal. All right, so 888-876-5593, and fun times, yeah. So, I'm just thinking back. I don't ever remember Murray mentioning Cousin Brucey's name. not even what he thought about him. It never came up. And, God, we talked about almost everybody. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I got another bumper stumper coming up next on WGN Radio.
Of all the times we've shared.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1979, Who Are They? Man, I remember I was driving on I-10 through El Paso and heard this record. Stopped the car to find a phone booth, yes, back then, and wanted to know, what is that? And, of course, instantly fell in love with it.
I want you to know I love you.
So, all right. 888-876-5593, 888-88 Raleigh. And of course, what do they have in common with every other group we are playing tonight? There is a commonality here. Now, our straggler. In 1970, under 3 million Americans owned one. Today, about 6.5 million do. And Jan in Calumet City has called and is going to take some guesses. So what happened to the magic twanger? I've managed to lose it. Oh, that is really bad. Oh, man, it really was here. Oh, here we go. All right. So, Jan, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you. I'm from Calumet Heights.
Oh, all right.
In
well,
Chicago.
I've moved you. How about that? Hope you enjoy it.
That's quite all right. You're still, I listen to every Monday for a long time. I enjoy it.
Thank
the
you
song,
so much.
I believe. Thank you. The song that was playing, I believe it's by the last of the law or the Long Generation.
Oh, good enough, good enough.
A little bit more time.
Yeah, it's Lost Generation, good enough.
All right.
Yes, they are Chicago through and through. You're so young, but you're so true. It was a flip side. Yes, all right.
Yes.
Well, you are a winner. Again, the prizes are worthless. Takes forever to get something, but eventually you'll like the certificate, and then you'll get something you don't want, like a CD or a DVD or a tabloid or something. But hang on, don't go away.
All right,
don't go away. All right, so all right, Jan is absolutely right. Lost Generation and a flip side, no less. They were just great, I thought. All right, so now, what are we doing? I believe that Naoto is in Japan, and what's new, Naoto? Are you with me, Naoto? We've lost Naoto. Oh, dear. Well, it is all the way from Japan. He'll call back, I hope. I've got a question for him. In the meantime, Fran and Austin wants advertising. Now, there's a switch.
Yeah, I thought I'd do something besides lyrics.
Okay. Well, we'll do slogans. You ready?
Yep.
Two mints in one.
Double mint gum.
No, see, that's what I thought, too.
Certs.
Yes, absolutely, certs. But that agency should have been fired, because the first thing all of us thought was double mint gum. That is not an agency that should accept that account. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
As soon as I said that, I knew I was wrong. I'm like, no, that was too quick, friend. Yeah, that's right. Not right.
Right. But, you know, I remembered. So, well, we all thought it's double mint. But, yes, certs, I'm glad you came up with that. I probably couldn't have. So, all right. As usual, you are a winner.
Saved myself.
Yes, big time. All right, hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right, absolutely. Yes, two mints in one. And, yeah, it sounds perfect for double mint gum, doesn't it? Yeah, but it was certs. At least Fran remembered it, so I guess it's okay. The agency got paid for it somehow. So, let's see. Eric is in Minneapolis. All right, Eric, welcome back to WGN. What's new tonight?
Yeah, hey, Raleigh, just listening to all the comedy gold you got going on there tonight. And especially when you were trying to bail out of that one call, went into about 9 minutes or something. I was just splitting aside there listening to that. I was feeling
poor,
for you. Like,
yeah, poor Ruth. That's all I can say, poor Ruth. There's a yes or no answer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, she wasn't giving you an out. Like, you couldn't.
No, she never does.
Yeah. So I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some things for you. I'll save them for tomorrow night, but
okay.
Some interesting things that I want to run past you. But for tonight, I'm going to take some shots at the straggler.
Yes.
And then I'm going to ask you for Partridge Family.
You got it.
Trivia. Okay, so I'm thinking it's, 3 million and 6 million. That's not like a whole lot of people in the overall scheme of things, you know, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my thing. So here I go. I'm going to just run these by you. Stamp collections or / coin collections?
Neither. Next.
Okay. A passport.
Next.
A Bible.
Next.
A Volkswagen Bug or Bus.
Next.
Encyclopedia set.
Next. You know, I think that'd be the other way around. I think in 1970, more people owned them than today. But no.
Yeah, well, you were saying today there's more people that own stuff, right?
Yeah, right. See, exactly. It was 3 million in 1970, six and a half million today. But yeah, less people own encyclopedias. They just look it up online.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got you on that one. All right, let's see. Expensive sterling silver dining ware.
No. I wonder if that's gone up. I know everybody used to own it. It was wedding presents and stuff like that. I don't know anymore, but no.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the overall word. What you know, I said it kind of lengthy, but like, what do you call that?
Flatware.
When people want flatware, serving pieces or
right.
whatever. Yeah. Okay. How about a toaster oven?
No. Got anything else?
Turntable, 8-track player.
Neither. 8-track players, God knows there's not more of them now. Hang on a minute, don't go away. I'm going to refine some of those answers right after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I thought it was a good record, 1966 on Josie. Yeah, a group's known for one song, and this isn't it, by the way. Natural Born Lover. Yeah. J.J. Jackson. Yeah, but it's all right. Co-wrote it with Sidney Barnes, and J.J. Produced it, too. And it was actually Herb Abramson produced it. I guess J.J. arranged it. But Herb Abramson, of course, was one of the original partners with Atlantic. And then when he came back from the service, he formed his own stuff. And so that was one of the things he produced. So who are they? What do they have in common with everybody else who've been playing? All right, Robert in LaGrange has a bumper guess. Okay, Robert, what'd you hear you know?
Yeah, Raleigh, this is on the last one that you played just before the 11:30 news. It sounded like the Stylistics to me.
No Stylistics.
Oh boy. Okay. Could I try one of your advertisers then?
Oh,
instead?
Advertising? Huh. Sure, we can do advertising. The best of the Rockies is yours.
The best of the Rockies is yours?
Yes, yes. Now, come on. What products do you normally associate with the Rockies?
Oh, isn't it a beer?
Well, yes. And what would that beer be?
Oh, boy. the best of the Rockies is yours. I'll take a wild guess. Miller High Life?
Oh, man, the Coors family would roll over at that. No, Coors.
Oh,
yes, Adolph Coors.
Oh, Coors. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later. Okay, thanks. Appreciate
it.
Yeah. Oh, thank God Joe Coors is not still alive. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're back to Eric in Minneapolis, and I believe we were just getting around, I do believe, to Partridge Family trivia. Would that be correct?
I throw my last three choices at the straggler.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, I've been so bad so far, might as well finish on a high note here. I'm going to go with swimming pool.
Next.
Life insurance.
Next.
And my last one is a wig or a hairpiece.
Nope. You can think about it. If you think of anything in the next hour, call me back. But in the meantime, we're doing the Partridge Family, are we?
Correct.
You will redeem yourself.
Raleigh, I was going to say, like Raymond Burr's Taylor, I'm out of material.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, that's terrible. okay. What actor played Reuben Kincaid?
Oh, that was their manager, and his name was Dave Madden.
Absolutely right. That's right. No, it was Dave Madden. Yeah.
One of my faves.
Yeah, and he was a decent guy. For a while, he took Danny Bonaducci in when he was having family problems and all that. He was a decent person. Guy from Canada originally. Anyway.
Yeah, he was from Canada. I didn't know that about him when Danny was having some issues.
Yeah.
Is that what he kind of turned to?
Yeah, absolutely, and he was there for him. So I gave him a lot of credit for that. And of course he had a lot of bit roles in Bewitched and other things like that. But really, the Partridge Family was his only really long playing gig.
Yeah, I'll see him sometimes in some of those other sitcoms. Every now and then I'll spot and recognize him. And I didn't realize he did so much other things. I thought he was just primarily the Partridge Family, but he does show up in some other shows.
Yeah. No, well, he was a comic originally, like a stand-up comic. He had a bicycle accident when he was a young child, and it was immobilized for a few years, and he learned magic and started taking magic on the road and stuff like that. I think he was living in Terre Haute with relatives at that time and actually went to Indiana State Teachers College for a minute there, too. But he was doing opening gigs as a comic in nightclubs, and it was interesting because Frank Sinatra had seen him and suggested to Ed Sullivan, you know, you put this guy on the show. So we did about three nights on the Ed Sullivan show. And that led to his first real acting engagement, a show that nobody remembers, Camp Runamuck.
Camp Runamuck, yeah. I don't know if I ever saw that, but I think I might have heard of it.
Oh, yeah. It was momentarily interesting as far as that goes. And, yeah, it was one of those deals where it was like your basic boys' summer camp. Camp Divine was the girls' counterpart against the other side of the lake. So yeah, I think did it last more than a season? I don't think so. I think it was a one-season show. But anyway, from there he got, you know, the Partridge Family came shortly thereafter. He did some stuff on Laugh-In, too, some bit parts on Laugh-In.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought I remember seeing him on there coming, popping out behind one of the doors that they would sometimes say a little joke or a line or two or something. But, he was kind of a quiet guy. You never really heard much about him outside of Hollywood or anything like you know, he kind of was just one of those kind of guys that just went to work, did his thing, and, didn't say too much or get too involved with any other things. But, yeah.
Did a lot of voiceover, as far as that goes. A lot of voiceover for commercials and stuff like that. So, you know, he's a working actor. He didn't starve. So, hey, that's a winner right there.
Hey, I was going to tell you, I'll talk about this tomorrow. I might try to call through and call tomorrow, but I found $5 on the floor walking into a store the other day. Just walking in down the aisle. And it started me thinking. I said, I need to call Raleigh and ask her. So I was going to ask you, like, have you ever found money? And, like, what's your lifetime total? Because my lifetime total now with that $5 pulls me up to around $80 in my life. About $80 I found over the course of my lifetime. And I can tell you, like, pretty much, now, except for the coins, I can tell you the bills and where I found them and how much they were and that kind of thing. So
I don't think, I thought in answer to your question, I don't think I ever found money.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even a dollar bill or
no.
coins?
Now,
or
you know, coins like a dime or whatever, but I wouldn't stop down to pick them up, see. But, I passed loose change, but, you know, as far as bills, no, I can't remember ever finding an actual bill.
Yeah, okay, well, tomorrow I'll just give you a little quick rundown, and then I would be curious to hear, like, the audience, you know, like, when they call in, like, hey, just to see if, like, someone's found some really large amount of money or anything. Because as a kid, I used to walk around dreaming about stuff like that. Like, would I be walking someday and just see a suitcase? Because living in Los Angeles, and then I always thought, well, I might find some bank robbery caper, you know, satchel full of money laying off the side of the road or hid somewhere, you know, just until they could come back for it. Something like that. I used to think that when it would make the walk easier, like walking between school and home or whatever. I'd be thinking like that. I'd always be looking around and just thinking, like, what if I found something like that? What would that be like? You know, be life changing.
Well, yeah, but I think if I found big money, the first thing I would want to do is try and find the owner. It wouldn't occur to me, gee, I should just keep it. You know, I figure there's somebody who's missing that money, and I'm going to make sure I can get it back to them.
But, I mean, wouldn't you think about maybe it possibly being from a, you know, ill-gained
If it was ill-gained, probably I would get to keep it because I'd never find the rightful owner who'd come forward and say, that's funny. I was actually proofing a book that a friend of mine is writing, and I had so forgotten about this story, but it was hilarious. The record business in New York, and mobster guy who was on trial, and they were accusing him on trial of getting the money that was in question here from drug deals, and he straight face said, No. I never got money from a drug deal. I got this honestly. I robbed banks. So, you know, you just never know what will come out of people's mouths. He did go to jail for tax evasion. But anyway, I digress. But you are a winner, so hang on. Don't go away. All right.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh and Mark and Rora are going to do charts. I'm looking forward to that. And we've got Dave on the north side. We're going to do lyrics. Yep, 1975 lyrics. And I'm prepared. Another bumper stumper coming up. Maybe that'll be familiar. We'll find out in moments here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Cleveland Group on GWP Records. That was a little New York label. Jerry Purcell. Yes, Gerald W. Purcell. GWP Records had started, and not a whole lot of people on it, but enough, actually, surprisingly. So who are they? 888-876-5593. And what do they have in common with every other group we are playing tonight? Yeah, there's something obvious. All right, so let's see what we're doing here. I believe Dave in the North Side wants charts, or wants lyrics. I'm sorry, wants lyrics. And I'm prepared for you. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, you sound very excited about it. All right, so.
I got a stomachache.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, all right. We're going to do some easy lyrics from 1975 because I'm going to start out with the opening two lines. You ready?
Okay.
In the corner of the bar, there stands a jukebox with the best of country music, old and new.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. Female vocalist. Big star in 1975, obviously.
Can you repeat it?
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to find it here that I can actually play it for you, which should be a miracle. But, yes, in the corner of the bar, there stands a jukebox with the best of country music, old and new. All right, I'll let you hear it and you'll know instantly, I think.
I hope so.
In the corner of the bar, there stands a jukebox with the best of country music, old and new.
All right, so who is she?
Is that Olivia Newton-John?
Absolutely right. Of course it is. Do you know the song?
No.
Please, Mr. Please, don't play B-17.
yeah.
All right. You know you did it. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So good deal there. Then we'll put Dave on hold, we think. And do we have time before the news? Well, I think we certainly can start, if nothing else. Maybe finish, too. Mark is in Aurora. How's it going, Mark?
I'm just fine. And I wanted to tell one of your listeners about David Madden.
Yeah.
Maybe the last thing he did before he passed away was the children's show.
Oh, from Focus on the
Adventures
Family.
Adventures in Odyssey out of Focus on the Family.
Yeah, Focus on the Family. It was a voiceover gig.
In fact, the episodes that are playing, that are rerunning right now, feature him.
Yeah.
He is he's complaining that one of the characters keeps knocking over his window washing bucket. And he often talks about his squeegee. And he's also telling this character the biblical story of Esau and Jacob, because this character feels like she hates her sister. And so David Madden's character, Bernard, is warning her of the dangers of hating a sibling and how that can eat your own soul and all that good stuff. So he's featured on Adventures in Odyssey reruns right now.
You know, I would normally make fun of you for listening to this, but the reality is I used to listen to Unshackled, the soap opera from Pacific Gardens Ministry, so I can't make fun of you for anything.
Yeah, I still listen to it.
Oh, God.
You know what? Even though Adventures in Odyssey is a children's show, I love it.
Good. All right.
I really do.
All right.
And it features some well-known past actors like Angela Cartwright. And it features an actress who has talked with me on the phone. Her name is Chris Anthony Lansdowne.
Okay.
And she did some acting in the 70s. She said she once acted in a show opposite David Madden. So anyway, I'm doing 1966 this week.
Oh,
and I don't guarantee that I know all of them, because that's just when I started listening to the radio, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you'll do it. Number one, Monday.
But yeah. Oh, the Mamas and the Papas.
Number two, Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35.
Bobby Dylan.
Number three, Good Lovin'. Of course, a remake of the Olympics, but it was a big hit.
Good Lovin', the Young Rascals,
yes.
I believe.
Number four, When a Man Loves a Woman.
Earthy Sledge.
Yes. Number five, A Groovy Kind of Love.
Oh, gosh. I can hear the song playing in my head, but even if you played it for me, it wouldn't.
It was on the Fontana label.
Yeah.
Of course, the lead singer was a Fontana, so.
Oh, and I'm going to kick myself when you tell me the name.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. The Mindbenders.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
but I wouldn't have remembered
that. As in
that.
Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders, except they're just the Mindbenders then. Number six.
So now we know I won't.
Yeah.
Six already?
Yeah. Number six is Kix.
Yeah. Oh, the supposedly druggy song, which was actually anti-drug and got banned anyway. Paul Revere and the Raiders.
I had never knew there was drugs involved. Number seven, How Does That Grab You, Darling?
No, yeah. How Does That Grab You, Darling?
How does that mess your mind?
No. Could you play it?
Yes, I absolutely could. And actually, I kind of like the song. It's horrible to admit.
That's the story of Kix, is that it was an anti-drug song, but the FCC heard drugs, and they banned it.
It wasn't banned. They might have claimed the FCC's never banned anything, by the way. They can't.
Well, that's the story I heard.
Yeah. Well, remember, we have a constitution.
It was supposed to be about drugs.
We have a constitution. They cannot ban things.
Yeah.
Oh, they could fine you for things after the fact, but
yeah.
No. But anyway, no, they didn't weigh in on it at all.
No, Kix is a song about a guy who's advising a girl, you know, hey, don't resort to Kix. Just, you don't need Kix to face the world each day. I'm going to help you find yourself another way.
Well, good for Terry Melcher, who produced it. All right, here's your How Did I Grab You, Darling, and then we're doing the news. You can think about it.
Okay. Oh. Sinatra. Nancy Sinatra.
Absolutely. Hang on. Don't go away. We'll reconvene with the rest of them after the news. Don't go away on WGN Radio.
Here comes heaven, all satin and lace. Love in her heart. And a smile on her face. She's the world to me. Heaven is all my heart can see. Here comes heaven with salt. My day, heaven is just a kiss away. I was so lonely till she took my hand. She lifted my eyes and she made me understand. Spring soft and warm.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1968 on Columbia. Actually, Eddie Arnold had it the year before, and I thought this group, however, nailed it in 68. And they probably had a dozen things on the country charts. They only had one thing on the pop charts, and it was not a big hit. But since we're not getting too many winners on identifying the songs, let alone the theme, nobody's guessing on that. This was the quasi pop hit.
Tippy tippy toeing through the house, gotta see what's the matter with the baby. It's been a ballin' and a squallin' and a kicking on the wall. Oh, well, I guess it dropped its little bottle, maybe.
Oh, daddy, come a running with the water and a rag. Gonna need another little diaper, maybe.
No need of hesitating or a wondering and a waiting. I know what's the matter with the baby.
I guess we can figure out why they didn't have another hit. But anyway, we get back to Mark and Aurora, and we're counting them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've lost the book.
Well, tell me.
Yes.
Tell me the title again of that Nancy Sinatra song.
How Does That Grab You, Darling?
Okay, well, it Somebody must have been using a reliable formula, because not only is it rhythmically similar to Boots, but it's even in the same key.
Well, it's the same guy. Lee Hazelwood's behind all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I like
Phaedra and I like Summer Wine, but those two songs are so similar, they might as well be the same song.
Yeah, yeah, but I just kind of liked, how does that grab you, darling? How does that mess your mind? All right, so.
But now, I love Summer Wine, real yeah, interesting
well, there
story.
You go. All that is the same guy. It's all Lee Hazelwood. All right.
Yeah.
Number 8, Message to Michael.
Oh, Dionne Warwick.
Yes. Number 9, Sloop John B.
Beach Boys.
And number 10, Love is Like an Itching in My Heart.
Could you play it?
Will that help? I mean, this was a huge, huge group.
I don't know.
All right, well, let me see if I can find it.
Well.
Because actually, I don't mind playing it. It's not not terrible, not like the other thing I played just a minute ago. But, okay, that should be enough. All right, this should do it to it. Yes, indeed. Yes, I knew you wouldn't need help. All right, well you did very well, all things considered. Just kind of freaked on the mind benders. But all right, good deal.
Yep.
Good enough to win.
Okay.
All right. Well, hang
Alrighty.
On. Don't go away. All right. So that's the deal with charts. Now let's put Mark on hold. You can have charts. You can have lyrics. You can have whatever you want. You can identify our question, which I guess I should repeat again, because we are going to reveal it in about 40 minutes here. In 1970, under 3 million Americans owned one. Today, about 6.5 million Americans own one. What? One what? All right, so Diane in Chicago wants to take some guesses on that. So, Diane, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. I was thinking because of the would be people that have like maybe more well off or whatever. So I would say a second home.
You're a winner.
Oh wow! Okay,
that's absolutely true. Today, 6.5 million people own a second home. Hell, some own a third.
Oh wow! Okay,
yes.
I was going to say yacht and RV, recreational vehicle. Oh, no kidding.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
So you're a winner. The prizes are worthless. They take forever to get you. You'll like the certificate,
okay.
But if something else we'll send you, probably
right,
won't
I've gotten
want.
One before. Okay.
Oh, then you know. Okay,
all
hang
right.
on. Don't go away.
All right, thank
so,
you.
So, yeah, pretty much the same certificate. I'm not very creative. All right, so, but that is absolutely right. So we need another question. Well, let me come up with one here. The last time anyone officially died of this in the United States was the early 1950s. Died of what? Yeah. Never been on a death certificate since. What is it? All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, I think Maddie in Harwood Heights was going to guess on our question, but 5x5 when all else fails. So, hey, Maddie.
Hi. I had a lot of really bad guesses for the Straggler. It was bidets.
No, we were
ready. Tattoos.
It was second home.
And it was second home. I know. I feel like such an idiot.
No, that's all right.
I was like pet ferrets. I was like, you know, ferrets. Tattoos, bidets.
Oh. I
was thinking too deeply. All right. Let's do 5x5 and then I can go to bed.
Okay. Who's older, Mick Jagger or Keith Richards?
Keith Richards.
Mick Jagger. What was the first Stephen King novel that turned into a movie?
First Stephen King novel that turned into a movie.
No, don't go there. Take another guess.
The one with the trucks.
Forget about the trucks. Keep going.
Stephen King. It was Dead Zone.
I gave you lots of chances.
Carrie.
Okay, we'll give you Carrie. Yes, okay. It was Carrie. We're going to run out of movies here. Who wrote Little Women?
Jane Austen.
Louisa May Alcott. We'll talk to you next week. Sleep well.
All right, I think you're wrong about that last one.
Well, Louisa May Alcott? No, really, I'm right. Little Women is a very famous book. Been around forever.
I think you're making this up, as you'll go along. Okay. Thank you, Robert.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, appreciate it. No, you can look that up. It's all over the place. That's absolutely true. All right, so yes, so our new question. The last time anyone officially died of this in the United States was in the early 1950s. Died of what? All right, so there's your question. Now, let's see. Cindy called back with some trivia guesses. All right, and Stan thinks he knows some bumpers. So, Stan, what'd you hear you know? I know you knew the doo-wop song.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to guess, the one from 1956.
Yeah.
Because You Are Mine by the G-Clubs.
Yes, 1956 on Pilgrim. Absolutely
right. On a Pilgrim
label,
yeah.
Yeah.
And another one that I knew, the first one was I Don't Want to Be the One to Tell You by the Royalette.
Yes, absolutely.
And the Flirtations did Natural Born Lover.
Yes, absolutely.
And of the groups I know, they were all on multi-labels. I don't know about the other groups. There's like two or three of them that I didn't know.
Yeah.
But also, these groups, they had their songs recorded by other artists.
Nice guess, not right.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, but you know the G-Clefs, so that and a lot of others, too. But, yes, I'm impressed at that, of course. It's a fine record.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were also on Paris label.
Yes, yes.
And the Royalettes were on Chancellor.
Well, they were a little bit, yes, but mostly MGM because
that's
how they got in the game because they won that talent contest on the Buddy Dean show. And the prize was a recording contract with MGM. And I remember thinking at the time, what, does he hate these people? Because MGM was not known for their prowess and, you know, top 40 or soul records, you know, Tommy Edwards notwithstanding. So, yeah, that was the deal with them. I thought they were great. And that was on their second album.
I thought the Rollettes were really that.
Yeah, yeah, all that Teddy Randazzo stuff.
There he goes. They did a good version of that Velvette song.
Yes.
And a good version of Out of Sight, Out of Mind, which is the other side of their big hit. It's going to take a miracle.
Yeah.
I thought It's Going to Take a Miracle is a great hit in 66.
Absolutely. Even Denise Williams couldn't ruin it. It's just a great record.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. As usual, you're a winner. Hang on.
Okay.
Don't go away. All right. So, yes, Stan knows all and tells some. So let's put Stan on hold while we reconfirm that address. And we'll be talking to Cindy and Robert, both of whom called back, I think, with guesses on something or other. Rita in Harwood Heights got some guesses. So she's up next right after another Bumper Stumper coming up on WGN Radio.
So tell me what you're looking for. Love is all.
WGN Radio. I'm Molly James. I admit it, I found this record, 1978, on Motown. Because of the title, Love Is All You Need, I said, oh, somebody's redone Tommy Edwards again. Not hardly, but yeah, 78, I got fooled by several songs, I was wondering. But I thought it was a good little record. So who are they? What do they have in common? What does that group have in common with every other group we played? Got two more groups we will be playing. And in the meantime, we have a new question since our straggler about under 3 million Americans owned one and today 6.5 million. That was gotten. That's a second home. We have the last time anyone officially died of this in the United States was the early 1950s. Died of what? All right. So let's see. Rita in Harwood Heights going to take a guess on that. So Rita, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello. Yeah, I was thinking polio.
No.
No?
Nope.
What about a snake bite? Snake bite?
Nope. Oh, people are still dying of snake bites. Okay, thanks. Okay. Thanks, appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, no, if you lived in Arizona, you'd know that. Yes, people absolutely die of snake bites. Not regularly, but also not a very unusual occurrence. Cindy called back. All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you think?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to say if Rita could call, from Howard Heights could call tomorrow and give us the update about how she's getting help with her pacemaker, and hopefully James from the South Side calls tonight. But anyhow, you know, he's my favorite caller. He really is. But then anyhow, my guess is leprosy?
No.
All right. And then my other guess for, like, the last question was going to be an in-home, like, central generator system. I guess that was a pretty good guess, right?
It's not right.
No, but it was good. It was a good guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was close. It was something with a house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's it.
All right. Thanks. Good deal. So let's see. We now go to Robert in LaGrange, who has called back. All right, Robert. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'd just like to see if I could redeem myself for those two wrong answers I gave earlier. Let's see. Could I do charts from July of 67?
Yeah, sure. July of 67. All right. We absolutely can do July of 67. And I've got it right here. That's June. Let's get into July. And we've got, let's see. Well, I've got the beginning and end. Let's do something in the middle. July 15th, 1967. You ready?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, Windy.
Association.
Number two, A Little Bit of Soul.
Oh, a little bit of soul. A
little bit
man.
Of soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the record. I'm gonna let you hear some of it, but yeah, this is the only thing you can name by them. Believe me, if you can name another one, you're doing better than me.
Yeah, I remember a song called A Bit of Soul. Oh no, A Little Bit of Soul. Yeah. Oh, doggone it. Yeah. Now I know the tune. Oh.
Yeah. You know this song.
Yeah, I do know it, but. Oh, the group! Wow, I'll probably kick myself on this one.
well, maybe. Let's see. I'm looking to find. So yeah. I'm hoping it's on this computer, and if so, I will play it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure I have it. All right, let me look at it by the artist. Maybe I've got it listed that way. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got it. All right, here we go. This was a big hit. Well, obviously, it's a top 10 record. We know it's a big hit. Here they are.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
From Mansfield, Ohio, And it was Jerry Kazanets and Jeffrey Katz who found them, you know, the Kazanets Katz Flying Circus. And this is, this song got to number two, went gold. And,
I was thinking of the Regents, but that was Barbara Ann.
Right, that was Barbara Ann. It was on Laurie.
Yeah, I remember the song like it was yesterday, but I can't think of who did it.
You can't think of anybody else they ever would have done. And after it was on Laurie, Buddha did a reissue of it. The Music Explosion.
You got the news.
Oh, yeah, they were like one of those one-hit wonders.
That's what I said. You couldn't name a second one. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right after the news with the rest of it right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who is that? Yeah, I'm just enjoying a little too much there. All right, so now we are working on several things, and we only have about 20 minutes to do it. Now, of course, if you don't get our question, because it's a new question right now, it becomes next week's Straggler. And that's the last time anyone officially died of this in the United States was the early 1950s. Died of what? All right, so that's our question. That's your last bumper stumper. No one has taken a guess yet on what these groups all have in common. So what do you think? All right, so Maddie is in Harwood Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Look, I'm going to go again. I'm going to say nuclear fallout.
Yeah, that's interesting. No.
Can I do a 5 for 5?
Yes, that's what you'd like to do. Absolutely. So here we go. Let's find something interesting here. Wait a minute.
Hold on for 1 second, Raleigh. Maria, I'm on the phone live on television. The radio, anyway.
Yeah radio. Yes. All right, Maria. Hi, Maria. How are you? So now let's see where we are here. And that would be, what company did Wile E. Coyote buy his products from to use against Roadrunner?
That would be Acme.
Absolutely right. What are the first names of Abbott and Costello?
Abbott and Costello. It was not Elliot.
No, there's no Elliots. No E's.
No, there was no E's. Was it Gilbert and Frank?
No, nothing like that.
No, Hannibal and...
No, and Lecter. No, there's none of that either.
Oh. I don't know, Bobby. I don't know.
Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Oh, stop it. I knew that.
I know you knew it. Name an alcoholic drink with the same name as a big city.
Manhattan.
Absolutely baby. Right. All right, so let's see. Got to get the next two, and you're a winner. Who is Porky Pig's girlfriend?
Porky Pig's girlfriend is Piggy, Stephen, Kevin.
Porky Pig's girlfriend.
Porky Pig's girlfriend is Porgsy?
Oh, you can do this. Come on. You know this stuff.
You know, Riley, you believe in me, and you really shouldn't.
Well, I Porky Pig's girlfriend was Petunia Pig.
Well, you know when I don't.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I hope so, and don't wait that long. I mean, to any time you'd like to call, you're more than welcome. Okay, bye. All right, so it's not easy. It's much easier asking the questions than answering them. That's for sure. But what do we have here? Ruth and Gurney wants to guess. Okay, let's confine your conversation to your guesses. Ruth, go for it.
All right. Well, first of all, Sagittarius is a horse, a very powerful astrological sign. Yeah, no, the measles or chickenpox. And I have a request for two songs.
Neither measles nor chickenpox. Let me get out the deal.
And thank God.
Well, maybe not. All right, so what is it you want to hear, Ruth?
I would like to hear Louis Armstrong's If I Were a King, and also this song that you just played this evening. I didn't know who the artist was. I hadn't heard it before. I was really surprised in so many years. Claudine Langer, I think Andy Williams might have sang it, or she did, Here Comes Heaven.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, the quasi-hit was Eddie Arnold in 1967. No one's going to get the version I have, which is the Hardin Trio.
Okay, well, I'm requesting Eddie Arnold, then,
okay.
If you don't mind.
I'll be happy to play it. It's not as nice a record, but I'll be happy to play it.
Okay.
Sure. You betcha.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Here Comes Heaven, 1967 on RCA. All right, now let's see what else we're doing here, because we are doing something, and we've got another 15 minutes, so I think we can do it. All right, so were we in the middle of charts for Robert? Robert, were we in the middle of charts for you? I think we were.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
All right, well let me pull the book back. Something told me we were. All right, let me. The charts are falling apart in front of my very eyes here. Paper everywhere. All right, so let's see. So okay. We have the July of 67, of course, and that would.
That a little bit of soul was the last tune that I did.
Yes, right. Number two, the music explosion. Yeah. Number three, Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
Oh, Frankie Valli.
Right. Number four, San Francisco, Wear Some Flowers in Your Hair.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what it is with me today. I know the song.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name? Oh. Oh boy. Yeah. I'm just drawing a blank.
All right. Well, that would be Scott McKenzie, but that's okay. You're entitled to three wrong, and you haven't gotten there yet. So, number five, Don't Sleep in the Subway.
Oh, that was Petula Clark.
Right. Number six, Come On Down to My Boat, Baby.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Again, the song.
EMS.
You
can do it.
Were they another one hit?
I think so. Yes, they tried. They tried their damnedest to have follow ups, but no, this really was it.
Yeah.
Three words, and the initials are EMS.
Oh, EMS.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh, Every Mother's Son.
Thank you. Number seven, Up, Up and Away.
Oh, Fifth Dimension.
Number eight, Light My Fire.
Oh, The Doors.
Number nine, Come On, Marianne.
Four Seasons.
And number 10, A Whiter Shade of Pale.
Oh, Procol Harum.
All right, see, by the skin of your teeth, you did it. Hang on, don't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Okay. All right, so absolutely. And let's put Robert on hold. And yeah, man, I always thought that White or Shade of Pale was, you know, just a funeral dirge as far as that goes. And it turned out, from friends of mine who had the misfortune of being a wedding disc jockey, a couple of them all said, oh no, that's a big request for weddings. So, oh my God, it'd be better for funerals. All right, so let's see. Can't account for taste, I guess. Annette in Carol Stream, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, yes. Will you repeat your main question for me?
Absolutely, I will. I've got to find it. It's here somewhere. I saw it. Well, oh, here we are. All right. The last time anyone officially died of this in the United States was in the early 1950s. Died of what?
Okay, my first guess is malaria.
Nope.
No. Diphtheria?
Nope.
Pertussis?
No.
And I think somebody already guessed polio.
Nope. Everybody's going to kill me when, thank God, you don't know where I live. But anyway, and it'll hang on through next week. And okay. Yeah, it was never on a death certificate after this. So this was the last official cause of death in the early 1950s.
Okay. Well, I thought it would be one of those.
Well, if you think of something else, you got a whole week to think about it. Call me back.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, and then again, of course, somebody might get it tonight, but if not, it is our straggler for next week. And Marge in Wisconsin's going to guess. So, hello, Marge.
Hi, I'd like to try this guess for the disease.
Good, good. Well, cause of death, anyway.
Okay, I've got three guesses. One would be scurvy.
Nope.
Beriberi.
Nope.
Lockjaw.
Nope.
Oops. Oh, well.
Thanks for trying.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, nice guesses, but no. Let's see. I believe Bob in Arlington Heights wants in on this as well. So, Bob, what do you think?
I think it's old age.
You're a winner. You're absolutely
you.
A winner. Why did you know that?
Well, because I'm there. And...
we all are. All right. Yes, it
and my mantra is I'm going to die broke, but not broken. And okay. And so one of my friends jokingly said, well, then you'll need another cause of death because old age is not an official one.
Well, your friend is right. A man in Tennessee who died New Year's Eve 1953 was the last recorded old age death. Effective January 1st, 1954, old age was no longer accepted as a sufficient cause. Doctors had to go into more detail about which bodily function shut the body down. And it was Chris in Lancaster who suggested that question, and we thank him, and you are a winner.
Well, thank you.
Well, yes, hold on. The prizes are worthless. Takes forever to get something. We hope that you'll get it while you're still on the earth. We make no guarantees. And the certificate's fun, and whatever else you get, you'll probably just laugh, like a 45 or something like that. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So, yeah, we have a lot of 45s. We'll be mailing them. So let's go from there. Now, we're going to... we got Jeffrey in Alsop. He was guessing on it, and so was Tim in Geneva. So I need another question. But I'm wondering, since we only have about 7-8 minutes right now, if we should forego, because if I give you one now, then next week it's the straggler, and that's the last time. So I think I should probably wait until next week to debut a new question. All right, but I will be debuting the last Bumper Stumper. And is anybody going to guess on the theme? Well, we'll see on WGN Radio.
You thought you had me fooled, but I
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I thought it was worthy, but didn't make it to hit status. 1965 on Esky. What other group can you name on Esky? Should be obvious. You're saying none of them. Yeah, I understand. All right, so that's all to be heard. 11. I want to know, what do all these groups have in common? And yeah, I seem to have no takers on that, so I will explain who they all were and what they have in common after we go through a few more things, like Jeff in Homewood. How's it going, Jeff?
Going good. How are you?
Well, all right. So I believe we're going to do Seinfeld trivia.
We're going to try.
Yeah, I had it here a moment ago. I've just lost your question. It'll come back, no doubt. But I keep coming up with the Partridge Family again. But it was such a nice Seinfeld trivia, too. So I should have been more prepared for this. But no. So, that's so funny. I've got so many open things. Yes, the arrest records of Payson, Arizona. Who cares? All right, Facebook, Wikipedia. What's this? That's World War II. That's our next guy's questions. And I can't believe I cannot find your question, because I liked it. All right, there's another way to do this, and I'm going to come up with it right now before the show is over, we hope, and we'll see what we can do here. Yeah, part of the problem is that I went to one site looking for a great question for you and got all sorts of things on my computer. All right, here we go. I've got it. What was the name of the air conditioner that Kramer bought for Jerry? Was it the Commando 5, the Commando 1, the Commando 8, or the Ultimate Commando Cooler?
Commando 5.
It's the Commando 8.
Ah, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was sure you were going to get that. I guess it's a famous episode, supposedly. Jerry wanted to buy the Commando 8 because his girlfriend is too hot. So the air conditioner is installed by Kramer, and it falls out of the window and onto a dog. The dog that was injured was the same dog that gives Elaine rabies earlier in the episode. Well, all right. I guess turnabout's fair play. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
My one request.
Okay, let me get that out in a place that I won't lose it. So yes, I will not lose it. So what is it you want to hear?
Played after 12:30 some night, Wichita Lineman, Glenn Campbell.
Oh, that's easy. I'll do it. You betcha. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jeff. Okay, Wichita Lineman. Now let me for Jeff in Homewood. Okay. Very good. James on the South Side. All right. So, James, are you there?
You?
I'm fine. Yeah. Thank you. And I'll be using the question you gave me, who knows, probably next week. And we'll see how long it goes. Like I say, I remembered instantly, but I'm hoping nobody else will, because it's a fine question. So, let's see. Yeah, now, your question, however, where did I put it? Oh, yes. The first German serviceman killed in World War II was killed by soldier, fighting guy, from what country?
Okay, I'm going to say he was, I was going to say he was killed by a Polish.
No, the first German serviceman killed in World War II was killed by the Japanese in China in 1937.
Oh, yeah. You know, I heard about that some time back, and I forgot about that. Oh, well.
Yeah, there was...
That was a weird, when you think about it.
Yeah, no, that's why when I looked at that, I thought, oh, man, that's hard. You're really going to have to think to pick that one up.
Yeah, and here's the thing: the historians debate the start of World War II, even.
Right, and that is a debate. But yeah, so it's not like there's a proclamation and they hang out a banner and have a party. Indeed, there was another one. I got one for next week. Oh, very good. I'll wait for you. I'm going to ask this one next week.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So I have to try not to lose that page entirely, though. Good luck to me. All right. So first, let's talk about what we played, some of which were identified, that's right, by Stan and others. The Royalettes, I Don't Want to Be the One, 1966 on MGM. Well, first, maybe I should tell you what they all have in common. It's probably easier to go that way. All of the groups you heard had members who were siblings. So the Royalettes, I Don't Want to Be the One, 1966 on MGM, Sheila and Anita Ross. The Los Lonely Boys, Heaven, 2003 on Pedernales, Henry, JoJo, and Ringo Garza. The G-Clefs, Cuss Your Mind, 1956 on Pilgrim, was Teddy, Chris, Timmy, and Arnold Scott. The Lost Generation, You're So Young, But You're So True, 1970 on Brunswick, had Laurel and Fred Simon. We played Heat Wave, That's the Way We Always Say Goodnight, 1979 on Epic from the album Hot Property, Johnny and Keith Wilder. The Flirtations, Natural Born Lover, 1966 on Josie, Ernestine and Shirley Pierce. The Hesitations, Yes, I'm Ready. Yes, it was The Hesitations, 1969 on GWP, George and Charles Scott. The Hardin Trio did Here Comes Heaven, 1968 on Columbia, the album Sing Me Back Home. It was Arlene Bobby and Robbie Hardin. High Energy did Love Is All You Need, 1978 on Motown, and that's Vernessa and Barbara Mitchell. The Whispers did The Time Will Come, 1969 on Soul Clock, that's Wallace and Walter Scott. And the Jelly Beans did I'm Hip to You, 1965 on Esky, that's Elise and Maxine Herbert. And that pretty much is a wrap. There'll be a replay of this on Friday night, don't call, but next Monday, I think I'm pretty well trained about that actually by now, but next Monday night there will be a live show, 3 full hours. Tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, we will reconvene for whatever is on your mind. Attendance will be taken, so as they say, be there or be square. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your call, but above all calls, I should say plural, a lot of you called tonight, so that was many. Above all, I thank that lot of you who did call. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Hope to hear from you tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.